And I'm sure that all of you know how important the final document of this summit's going to be. Because the words that we put in this final document are going to be joined together with the words that Tupac just told us about and has been telling us about. This work has been begun of all the indigenous nations to declare our own sovereignty once more, to declare it to the world in a world forum. And so with this summit, to back up what the alliance of the eagle and the condor has begun, we're going to have our words out there from Native American indigenous people of this hemisphere. Our words are going to be out there to take away the words that were put on us in 1492. All of us know, we talk about 1492, they passed a papal bull trying to excuse himself from the ugly inhumanity that they brought to our shores. But in 1491, before the darkness fell on our people, we were a wonderful civilization here across this Turtle Island and across the continent to our south. Great cities flourished. Great civilizations flourished with everything that our people needed. Across the Mississippi Valley, hundreds of towns, thousands of towns dotted the entire Mississippi Valley, all the way up to Missouri, all the way up to here where we're at today. Our trade network spanned the entire nation from the West Coast to the East Coast. Our people had a wonderful and beautiful life. Across the world, our trees bloomed for us and gave us fruit. So we had plenty to eat. The buffaloes were in their multi-millions. All the animals flourished on our behalf. And so because of that, because we could learn from where we were in our beautiful land, things came together for our ancestors. So they were able to create a civilization that is unmatched in all of world history, in its beauty, in its closeness to nature, in the way that we live softly upon the earth. No one has ever learned that since that time. Everybody wants to destroy and take from our Mother Earth. We indigenous people, we Indian people have a responsibility, a right to share the knowledge that our ancestors gave us on how we can live on this Mother Earth without destroying her, without making her too hot for people to live. The major roads that spanned our continents are still utilized today for interstate highways and other things, but those were originally the trails of our people, the trails that our people made when they went to visit one another in peace and harmony. All you see on the movies are the times we went war against each other. That happened later. After the invader came, we began crowding for land and we began fighting each other in a different way, in a Wasichu way. But in 1491, things were different for our people. Put your mind, put your imagination of those days of 1491 before the Wasichu came. Those days of beauty for our people, when all the people had the language, when we spoke in the most beautiful poetry, and our chiefs led us in our prayers in a way that all the people could understand, including the Buffalo people and the Elk people, including the Deer Nation, including the Bear Nation, and even the insect and the flying ones. All of them understand this language that we have, our original language. These things were a wonderful thing that we remember someplace in our memory. Right back here, someplace in our brain, there's a memory of those days when our people were free, free from the sickness that they brought, free from the illnesses that they gave to us. And we were healthy, strong, straight men who took care of our families in a good way. We were powerful women who had many children. Our elders lived to 200 years or 250 years old in our villages, and they had all this knowledge to give to us. in the south of us, our people built the great cities. Now they call them ruins. Ruins of the Anasazi people. The ancestors of the Pueblo Nation.
Why is that breaking up?
That they made from that
Chris
place.
Mics, guys.
Went on these roads that they had all the way from coast to coast. And they reached down into Mexico. Down to the, all the way to Teotihuacan, where they traded. That's why our people up here have the macaw feathers. Macaw don't fly up here to us, but our people traded for them and brought those feathers up here. We utilize them now in our ceremony. Across the areas of Central America, new science has showed how old these civilizations have come to be in Central America. The very first of these villages was built long before the white man ever started to civilize himself and to turn against the rest of the people. In these places, they learned how to take the fish from the ocean and learn how to build the nets and live on the ocean, while their other villages that lived high in the mountains grew the corn, grew the grain, produced the food, and together these places went back and forth, and they developed the fantastic civilization that became the Maya. And the Maya people are in their millions today. Even though the Wasichu has attacked them, killed 200,000 in Guatemala, another 100,000 in Mexico, another 100,000 farther to the south as they built that big canal. All over, those people have suffered, but yet they're continuing in because they've been there since the beginning of time, since before 1491. They were there. And farther to the south, the white man came. He thought that there's a place called Amazon Jungle where the mighty Amazon River flows through the Indian lands there. They thought that no one could live in that jungle, they said. They thought that it was a pristine place, they claimed, where no one had ever lived. But now, from the satellites, they look down and they find out right in the Amazon jungle, Native American people had built major civilizations for thousands of years. They're gone now. Those Indians now, they say they had the first contact with a white man. That's a lie. Those people had the magnificent cities and the land there, but they were decimated by the disease. 90% of their doctors, their leaders, everybody was killed by the disease. And so the people had to return to the forest of the Amazon, to the jungle, where they live now. They live in a tribal way. But you know what? They're utilizing the fruits of that civilization that colonized the entire Amazon basin. Millions of people lived there in one village, another village. They were all over that. During that time, they made sure that what was in the jungle were fruit trees and nut trees and all these things. So now the people that are living in those jungles that the white man thinks never had contact with them before, they're utilizing the fruits of their civilization, the trees that they planted. You know, the fruit that they once grew, is now they think it's wild out there. But once it was cultivated by those people. And even farther south of the Amazon, where it begins to get desert, way to the south, our people built magnificent irrigation structures. And they farmed that area in a vast area of fields where they developed all the food that feeds the world today. Remember that 3/5 of all the food in the world today was developed by Native American scientists, American Indian science. We made the corn. We made all the things that are bountiful today, and we gave it to the world. You know that even in China and India, they think those spices that they use in their food that makes it so hot, they think that they originally came from Asia. But no, those are ours. They came from here. We gave it to them after 1492. So we must always remember what it was like in 1491 before Columbus came. Don't ever let anyone tell you that we were in some way a primitive people. Because it was never that way. We had the most amazing sciences behind what we did. We knew the movement of the stars. And by knowing the movement of the stars, we knew when to plant our crops. By knowing the movement of the sun and the moon and living upon this Mother Earth in a real way, we knew how to move our villages around. And so we could always have a bountiful life without hurting the other life that we live with. We never did make anything extinct. We never did make our relatives go away from us. That wasn't our way. Our way was to share with them. We shared with them and they shared with us. And we were able to live in that way for many, many thousands of years, 100,000, 200,000 years. Our people lived in this harmony upon this earth. And we thought we were going to be that way forever. We thought that we had taken a place within the circle of life upon our Mother Earth, upon this living Mother Earth. We thought that we had that place now. And all humans are going to live amongst the circle of life upon Mother Earth in a good way. We didn't know. Some of our medicine men had prophesied that they were going to come. But us common people, we didn't know. Or maybe we didn't believe, or maybe we didn't listen to them. Because when the white man came, it was a surprise to us. We thought we could be friends with him. We really thought that, and sometimes we still think that. No matter how many times we get kicked, we still try to put our hand out and be friends with them. No matter how many times they kill our grandpas, we still try to be friends with them, sign treaties with them. And that was the way it was when they first came. We thought we were going to be able to be friends with them. But the first time we shook hands with them, they had something in their mind. Not friendship. We had friendship in our mind. They had gold in their mind. They wanted something from us. They wanted the beauty that we had developed. You know, but they wanted it for a different reason. They wanted to take our beauty, take our fine things, and take it back to Europe to make themselves rich. And they did that. They lived like dogs before they took the wealth of our nation. They lived with pigs, chickens, other things right in their homes. And because of that, they developed germs, pig germs, chicken germs, and other things that lived in their bodies. And they had that in their body when they came and shook hands with us. And by touching the Wasichu, we got those things on us. And it killed us. So the great cities that was on the East Coast amongst the Iroquois Confederacy, the Creek Confederacy, the Cherokee Confederacy, and all the great nations of the East Coast, they died. Because of those germs, they went. But it wasn't long before those pilgrims came. And you know what? In those villages where our people had left for a spirit world, they found corn. They found food stashed there. Maybe they found a skeleton of an Indian too. But yet they found that corn and they said, God has provided for us. They didn't know how to grow corn. They didn't know how to do anything except live in their ugly little villages with their pigs and cattle. So they came to this wonderful land, and they actually believed that God had killed all of us on their behalf. I mean, that's a strange God that would do something like that. But they claimed that their God killed all of us out so they could claim our land. So then began the justification, the legal justification that we're talking about today. And this is how important it is for us to complete our work today and tomorrow. Because we have to go back to that 1491 time. We in our minds have to go back and say those justifications that they began to make at that time cannot stand. We cannot allow them to stand because they're untrue lies. And they're using those untrue lies every day in their law courts now. So this is why I wanted to talk a little bit of our history before white man came in 1491. So we'll understand how they were thinking when they made a papal bull that gave them the right to murder our people, to wipe us out, to do anything they want, to take our buffalo herds, to take our Black Hills, to take everything that we got, till finally we got our mountain left. They have that mindset. And it's happened in 1492. And it's important now that we overturn that. That we become smart enough in our deliberations that we can say, no, don't put in your United States versus Hicks to the Supreme Court that you have a right to do this because some pope wrote a document in 1493. But that's what they're saying. In 2005, they wrote in their decision against our people that they have a right under the doctrine of discovery that came from those papal bulls to take our land. That's their justification. So the work we're doing here seems ancient. But it's very, very important that we do this as a people, that we complete and finish this document. And not only that, that we make a plan amongst ourselves what we're going to do with this document, what we're going to do with this covenant we make with each other. A covenant is a promise to each other. We're going to make a promise to each other that we're going to complete this circle and we're going to go to the United Nations. We're going to go to the President of the United States and tell him why he was wrong to ever quote these things in their Supreme Court. And we have to go to the United Nations and the World Court in the same way. I love it because our people of Ecuador and Guatemala and Bolivia and places where our people are a majority, and we're 1% here, but down there we're 80% or more. Those people are Catholics in there. Catholics, churches all over that place. The millions of people to the south of us that the Catholics have colonized now have to put pressure. I hope that our brothers from Cunay, from Ecuador, can turn their millions of people out into the streets like they did to overthrow that president, to overthrow the Catholic Church, and to make sure the Catholic Church and Pope rescinds the papal bulls that they imposed upon our people. And we as a nation, every one of us, every nation that they have subjected in this country has to go to Rome and has to go to the Church of England and tell both of them that they're so full of the bull that they can't see the world. They are the ones that are full of bull, and they have to understand that as red nations, we're not going to accept it anymore. Those kind of rulings in their court cannot come down. Why do we have tribal court? And why the hell is our tribal court under their Supreme Court? We have a tribal court. It must answer to our own Constitution. And to hell with the American Constitution. We're not part of that. We're previous to that. Much previous to that. We're previous to America. And America has no right to make up stupid stories about our people and say that gives them the right to colonize us. So that's how important it is. I know you guys have heard me. I think I said the same thing about yesterday. But the chief asked me to stand up here and say this, so I don't have no choice. I'm going to say it the best way I know how, of how important what we're doing here today. We have lawyers here, Wasichu lawyers. They're going to put it into the form of English. That's called legalese. Legalese is like a foreign language to us. But it means something to Wasichu. So we have to ask our friends to come do this for us, to write these things down. And then when we go, we gain our strength here. We have our staffs here. We gain our power here. Then we go to the United Nations. Then we go to the president. In all of our strength and all of our power with this covenant signed between our people, with a treaty signed between our people, peace and friendship amongst us, but struggle against anybody who thinks that we're less than human. Struggle against anybody that thinks they can occupy our sacred mountain and we don't say nothing. Who thinks they can own the Black Hills out from under our people and steal the gold. So my relations, we're calling you this morning. Make your way over here. Come join with us. It's very, very important to stand in front of Chief Red Cloud and explain ourselves in a clear manner so the world will know what we're doing here today. So I hope that I've satisfied the requirements I was given by telling you these things and explaining to you how we're going to try to accomplish what we're going to try to accomplish. We're going to work today a little bit. We're going to enjoy talking to each other. And hopefully by the end of the day, we're going to have something to present to the people. Tomorrow's going to be our busy day, getting ready for a demonstration, then going down there and doing that about noon. So we got the rest of the day and a little bit of tomorrow morning to finish this document and bring it before the people. Then when we make the document, we're going to sign it. Each nation that endorses it are going to sign it. And then they'll know the nations are standing together. And then we can take it, like before this meeting, we took tobacco to the nations. And we asked them to come. Well, when we finish this, we'll have something else to take to the nations. We'll have this document, Peace and Friendship Treaty, our covenant with each other, to take to all the nations, 500 nations around here. And we'll ask them to join us and join us in regaining your land. Join us in saying, no, don't impose an IRA government on us. We have a government that's better than the IRA. These things we can do for our people today and tomorrow. So we're going to begin our meetings now, my relation. And all of you that hear me still in camp, make your way this way. Our sacred staffs are here. Our elders are here. And the rest of us have to be here to work. So I know that a lot of you guys sleep in, you know, stay. I heard a lot of people late last night having a good time, you know. So today, you know, you're going to open your eyes. I know that there was some strong coffee over there this morning because I took one drink and I started going like this and they'll start jumping up and down, you know, like a jumping bean because this is strong coffee. So if you get sleepy today, go over and get some of that. You'll jump up and down too. But anyway, good morning to everyone. Good morning to all of you, my relations. And thank you for making your way up here, and we'll get started as soon as we can. We blah, huh?